The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Jazz pianist and composer Daan Herweg is a renowned musician based in Amsterdam, working on both local and international stages. Began his career at the Manhattan School of Music and the Conservatory of Amsterdam, and of course he is much sought after sideman, writer, composer with many different projects, a free improviser, hit composer, and multi-educator, in fact music educator, composing jazz that is compelling and well constructed. We spent some time with him in this hour, the man, of course, and his music. Welcome to South Africa. Oh, welcome to the KJazz Show.
Such a wonderful introduction, Marco. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Let's formally introduce you, Daan. Who is Daan? And when did music find you?
Who is Daan? Well, Daan is a Dutch guy from Amsterdam, and I'm 42. I think I'm mid-career. I played a lot of piano for the past 20 years, and piano was just always in my life. I remember my parents, they were not musicians, but they were super musical. They were musical minded. My dad played some clarinet, and he basically, my father introduced me to African-American music at a young age, jazz and soul, funk, hip hop, R&B, all kinds of from the cultural canon of black music, actually. And before my mother, he was married to an African-American lady in Minnesota. So I was just immersed in this jazz culture from a young age. And there was a piano in my house, and it was just always there. I don't remember it as some sort of sacred calling, but it was just always there. So I don't know. It just seems very logical to me to always play piano. Whenever I didn't play piano, after a few days, I would start dreaming about the piano keys. So it was just like it's just a thing that I was drawn to all the time.
Your maiden voyage in jazz music, if we're going to talk about that, you know, began when you joined the Quincy Quintet. But yes, you have been, like you've just said, in the music scene for over 20 years. You know, let's reflect on these years. What are some of the highlights, you know, during this time?
Well, actually, the Quincy Quintet was a group of young guys from the Amsterdam Conservatory. And I remember, I think I was in my first year and they were still in their preliminary year. So I was a bit snooty. I was like, oh, these young students. I was not stupid like that. But they invited me to join for a rehearsal. And we just immediately just clicked on a personal level. And I remember that the bass player said, let's go on tour. And then I said, well, you can't go on tour. You have to have gigs first. And then he said, well, my father has a van, so we can just go in the van and we bring the instruments and then we'll just see whatever happens. And we were 21 and 20, like super young. We just went in a van with these boys and we just played all over Europe. First in the streets, and then in later years when we did it again, we got more context and we got actual gigs in small jazz clubs, and we had a cultural center in Italy where we played. So this is some of the happiest moments of my musical life, because it was just like this simple logic of without any hassle, without any preconceived notion, just get in a car and with a bunch of friends and play and drag your keyboard to the street and make jazz music. So this is very formative for me. That was very, very beautiful. And then aside from that, I had a production company in Amsterdam with a friend of mine who I always made hip-hop beats, because I've been making hip-hop and rap music since I was 16 as well. So we started doing that, and then we hit some really big success with two Dutch rappers, actually. Two songs that I wrote with my fellow producer, they turned into number one hit songs. So I had this do a serious jazz career, practice checking out Wynton Kelly and trying to become a proficient jazz pianist. And then on the other side, I had this crazy pop music career with publishing agency and so I had this weird two. And then for 12 years, I just did both super intensively.
So you literally had a lot of music happening around you, and you're possibly, one of the most unique musicians whose influences are so vast. They reach from, if I'm going to share it with our listeners, from Bach to Brahms to Debussy to the modern 20th century, music straight into the almost idiosyncratic jazz of, Monk, Herbie and Bill Evans. Only then, as you mentioned, to lead into hip hop music, pop culture and songwriting.
Yeah.
Interesting list, Don. Why was it so important for you to explore, maybe? Because I think maybe it was a thing that you needed to explore to find that voice. But why was it so important for you to explore all this music?
Well, I guess you're also just a child of your time. And I also grew up with a lot of pop music. And what I like about pop music and also rap, I listen to a lot of Wu-Tang Clan, but also, I don't know, any kind of groovy-oriented pop and rap music. Prince was a big influence as well. My father taught me there's just sort of two kinds of music, good and bad music. I think Miles Davis said something of the like. And that's what I totally agree with that. You can just tell right away, also with commercial pop music or with very artistic jazz music, there's something going on. There's some urgency to it, some human factor. Some human, human expression,
right,
and then from the heart. And what I also like about more popular music is that it can unite society, it can make people feel connected. So that's what I've always liked about pop music as well. So I don't know, I just it may be also my personality type. I'm slightly ADD, I like all kinds of things. I'm easily that can be a bad thing. But it's also just who I am. I just I like all kinds of stuff.
And it also talks to the kind of pictures that you paint, because I believe, music is a blank canvas. And once you put yourself on there and how you express it in your head, that's the picture that you're painting. And of course, that's what you bring forth as the sound of Don Herwig. Kofifi FM, we are spending time this afternoon in the company of Don Herwig, a multitasking, multi-instrumentalist from the Netherlands. And he joins us this Sunday as our musical guest for today's Page 3 feature. And we've also, you know, been spending time with the music of his new project, In the Search of the Lost Chord. Let's talk about the new album, you know, In yes. Search of the Lost Chord. You recorded this, or the project, in fact, comes 10 years after not releasing music, because I think you've explained how or why you were so busy.
Right, exactly.
Which could be a number of reasons, but you've kind of put us there. You know, let's talk about the album though. What inspired it? And let's talk about also the creative process, maybe, you know, that followed the creation of this album.
Yes, well, I mean, most of the songs were written like in the year leading up to the recording. And some are some older ideas that I still had in my mind. They were lingering in my mind. And the songs are very, very much, it's very personal. It's actually about my late father, my late mother, the people I love. It's about a trip that I once did. It's about some social ideas that I have. It's very personal. And that to me felt really out of necessity. It was sort of like a necessity. Is that correct English? It felt really like I just need to, it was therapeutic. Almost without being over sentimental, it needs to be good stuff, you know. I don't want to have it needs to be good jazz, and it needs to be to a certain standard, and it needs to communicate, but it's also very personal, and that feels really good actually. And it took me just 20 years to get there. I did just do a lot of stuff, and
I
write a lot of music for other artists as well, like for instance the song Promenade is a song that I played on my mother's passing, on her geez, how do you say, my English so bad. Practice more. On her funeral, I'm sorry. I couldn't think of the word. I'm Cyril Dutch.
Yeah.
And this is very personal. And that just feels very, I love that. I love to do that. That feels like coming home, you know? Not having to do like the modern jazz standard or to be in a certain idiom. Just do whatever I like. I guess it's like the whole world around you as an inspiration, and then you can put that into your music as your voice. You know what I mean? As opposed to trying to sound like the modern jazz aesthetic, or also can be inspired by language, by novels, by books that I read.
Your environment also tells a story, you know.
Yeah.
And speaking of stories, you tell the other one story where you and your father were taking a trip from the Western Cape to the Free State, you know, on the composition Onorwerg na Bloemfontein. But you never really got to Bloemfontein. So last week when we shared this, when we shared the album, of course, the song Onorwerg, I said, he never got to Bloemfontein. So I want him to come onto the show and tell us exactly where you ended up and why I remember, did you not go to Bloemfontein?
Well, my father and I, we took a road trip, and I wanted to go as far as possible because I wanted to see as much of South Africa as I could, because I was young and I was always overambitious. My father was, no, we'll just, we're just going to do a nice trip around the Cape, and I remember we were in Montague and some of these nice places there. And I just remember, of course, there's so much history there. And we had actually a really intense, socially inspired trip, because my father, he was a professor in social work. So it was very much, it wasn't just your average tourist trip in South Africa. We visited also the Cape Flats, and we did but in the right way, you know. I guess it was so formative for me, and I was really into the South African jazz scene. So I went to the jazz clubs there, and I saw a lot of South African jazz musicians. Andile Yanana, I remember, and Paul Hanmer, a pianist that I have an album of that I still have today. I cherish it. So Trains to Town, it's like it influenced me so much. And then also Abdullah Ibrahim, Dollar Brand. Of course, you know, you cannot oversee him. And so I was very immersed in the South African jazz scene. And then we did this road trip, and I wanted to go to Bloemfontein, make a big trip. My father was like, no, it's too far. So we had a lot of discussion. And I think the farthest we went, I don't even remember anymore. That's so bad. I think we didn't get that far, but it was like a target for me. Like, we have to get there.
Yeah.
And then in the end, we basically just drove around the Cape, and it was, yeah, we just had such a good time together. And we're actually listening to a lot of music in the car.
Yeah.
So this is something I remember with my father. And then after his passing, it seemed like the best metaphor to write a song about him.
Let's talk about some of the musicians that you featured on the album now. You know, who did you work with?
I worked with an Italian bass player that lives in Amsterdam that I actually know from a session that I used to host a session in Amsterdam for 13 years. This session was very infamous. Like, it was every Monday night, and I had all the cats from Amsterdam come visit. But also, it was an open session, so everybody would show up and play, and everything can happen. And there was this young bass player that would always show up, and he just stood out with his energetic way of playing. And I just always remembered him. He was like, he's a big presence in the band, but also very, you know, just hard swinging, you know, and also accompanying really, really amazing. So it's Lorenzo Buffa. And it's nice because he actually plays the first solo on Onderweg naar Bloemfontein. Which it's actually kind of cool because it was my first single, and I'm like, you know what? Let's have a bass solo start my first single. And he really nailed that. I really like his solo there.
Yeah.
And there's another drummer, Jeroen Batterink, who I know because he's very refined, and he can make a lot of textures, and he's a very sensitive drummer. You know, I can always hear myself when he plays, and then he gives a lot of energy somehow. So this is an amazing young musician as well. He does a lot of work for the, he plays with a lot of symphony orchestras and such. You know, he blends really well. And then there's Matthias van der Brande, who I also know from the Dutch scene, who's also slightly more sensitive player a little bit. Like, he listens and he's interacting, and he's more improvising, very lyrical. So I just selected these people also for how they would fit together personally. And I'm really happy with the result now. And I have some features as well. Suzanne Veneman, who is like a trumpet star from Holland. She's an amazing player. Also intensely lyrical and very in the moment. Like, she can really, and she makes these long notes that are, you know, I mean, yeah, she has a way of playing that really, that really resonates with my songs as well. So that's, and of course, I also featured my Henk Rijveld is a singer that I'm a sideman in his band, and I write a lot of music for him. So he's such a good friend, and we toured now for 6 years, and we toured in Asia a lot, and we've been through together so much. So really logical to have him in the band as well. But I I tamed him, so he's only humming a melody now. He cannot, he wasn't allowed to take the center stage, but it's like, you can accompany me now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of jazz followers and collectors always want to know, you know, are we getting physical copies of this project? Where can we get it? I mean, we've shared through this half hour most of the intended tracks, but there's so much more to unpack in this album. So can we get copies? Where do we get copies? How do we get hold of you to get copies?
Actually, the web shop on my site is going to be open from tomorrow, because I talked to my designer. I had some trouble with the payment link, etc. Some technicalities, and I'm going to have probably some distribution ready. Well, I mean, I'm going to distribute it through my website, so, and do international shipping. So that's the best place to get it. I mean, nowadays all the music is streaming, so there's limited, there's limited demand for physical copies. But it's very nice, and the webshop's going to be open on my website, danherweg.com, from tomorrow probably. So that's a bit of news we have.
Well, you heard it here before, of course. danherweg.com is where you can get yourself a physical copy, and hopefully you're nice to him and he will sign it, and alongside the band members, they'll also sign it, and have a collector's item of this incredible project, simply called Finding the Lost Chord. You know, a dedication to Dad, a dedication to South Africa, and a dedication to his trip that went around the Western Cape, almost in the Free State, but it never happened. We forgive you, but we will only properly forgive you when you show up to Bloemfontein. Now, where to from here for Don?
Oh, I was asked this question before, and of course, the socially wanted answer is Carnegie Hall and world fame. But what I want is, I want to play gigs where people listen, and I have a nice piano. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why you do these things as a jazz musician. Because you just up your game, and then you can do nice gigs. And I love playing small jazz clubs, actually.
Yeah.
60 people in the audience, attentive audience. We're gonna do a tour in Holland now, starting September. We have now 6 gigs, which is actually already quite nice, in Dutch cities, and it's still counting. And I'm gonna arrange for a German tour, and so that's all happening. And those are like nice small jazz clubs. That is actually what I love doing. And of course, festivals, you know, that's also amazing.
Yeah.
So that is festivals. Totally my ambition, like to do these, like, even mid-sized festivals. And yeah, I don't know, playing in Germany is also wonderful, because the people are very culture-minded there, you know. You have the Kulturverein, and then, you know, attentive audience. And that's actually my ambition, to play, to do like these mid-sized gigs. That's a concrete ambition. And then, of course, also Carnegie Hall, you know what I mean?
Well, but it's, put Johannesburg on that list, and you and me were
made. I will. Yeah.
We're main friends forever. You put that one on the list. But, well, you know, thank you so much, Don, you know, for spending time with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
For sharing the incredible music. And, of course, we look forward to hearing from you and your music. And one day you'll be live in studio with me. We'll be talking about the different spaces you'll be spending time in here in our city and many other cities around South Africa, including Bloemfontein.
No. Yeah, I really want to. And I would be wonderful to hear some South African jazz again, to revisit some of that stuff. You know, that was just so formative, stuff that I heard there. Herbie Tsoeli and I already said Andile Yanana, and Bekim Saleku, did I call him already? This is also a name.
There's
that
so many. There is so many. I don't think you and I can get through all of them in this one conversation.
No.
You and I will hang out. Let's do the things. And of course, when we do, I'll bring a lot of the music, and you bring a lot of the band, and let's do a thing. You know, and of course, look forward to seeing and hosting you here in Johannesburg, of course. Thank you so much, Don, for your time.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. Thank you.
The pleasure is always ours. Pianist, composer, a free improviser and music educator, of course, talking to us from Amsterdam this Sunday, Don Herweg, and he was on the KJazz Show.